This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Whitney Pittman along with Randy Conan in studio. Sierra Doctor will hear a report as well. The U.S. Supreme Court has delivered a victory for farmers, ranchers, and landowners in a long-awaited decision regarding the Waters of the United States rule. The High Court found the EPA and Army Corps of Engineers wrongfully claimed authority over wetlands.
In a 9-0 holding, the Supreme Court found in favor of the Sackett family and killed the significant nexus test, which has kind of been, I think we can all call it, the burr under our saddle, right? It's caused a lot of problems for landowners across the country, and we are happy to see that test go away.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart says the ruling will affect the change in wetlands policy made by the Biden administration last year.
The holding against the significant nexus test is certainly at a minimum going to require the Biden administration to pull their 2023 definition back for some serious reconsideration and revisions. More work to be done there. But today, I think today's a day to celebrate.
Earlier this year, federal judges in North Dakota and Texas temporarily blocked enforcement of the Biden wetlands rule in 26 states.
Rinke Noonan law firm attorney Cale Van Bruggen said each justice agreed in favor with the Sackett family.
It appears that there's unanimous support for the outcome, which was ruling in Sackett's favor, and claiming that the agencies have overextended their jurisdiction here by claiming jurisdiction over the wetland on the Sackett property. There was a four-part agreement on the controlling opinion of the court, and then, of course, there are at least three separate concurring opinions with some additional commentary. So, you know, not a unanimous per curiam result, but at least unanimous in the outcome with at least four justices agreeing on the test that was laid out here by Justice Alito.
And this ruling determines that methods to determine what is and is not under the jurisdiction of EPA will change.
The nexus test was really saying essentially the agency could look at anything that the agency determines impacts the chemical or physical or biological integrity of the downstream navigable waters. So what you had was essentially, in most cases, a case-by-case analysis of whether a certain wetland was jurisdictional. Almost impossible for a landowner or a farmer to quickly and efficiently decide which wetlands are regulated under this act. The agency is going to have to show that the downstream water body constitutes the waters of the United States. And then if that becomes clear, then second, the wetland that is adjacent to it must be shown to have a continuous surface connection.
North Dakota Grain Growers Association President Ed Kessel calls today's Supreme Court's decision a step in the right direction.
You know, as farmers, we definitely need certainty. And when administration try to make laws, that creates problems for us around. So the one thing I don't know is how this is going to affect the current EPA WOTUS determination. So there's still uncertainty out there, I feel, yet, but this definitely one step in the right direction.
Kessel remains cautious and vigilant.
The way it's laid out, it does look favorable, but of course, those that are trying to make these rules are trying to figure out a way to be able to make them legal also. So we're going to continue to watch this and see how this shakes out.
North Dakota Senior Senator John Hoeven released a statement praising the Supreme Court decision. Hoeven said this ruling is an important step in reining in regulatory overreaches by the Biden administration.
Weather continues to be a market factor for the grain markets. Northern Crops Marketing and Investments President Brad Paulson says a large portion of the Corn Belt is short of moisture.
And the forecast, like I said, that for late next week's a little wetter, but that's a ways out. I'm still quite concerned about this weather pattern. It sure feels dry. That east wind blows all day, all week long, and with little or no rain, there's going to be some showers, but, you know, we need to we need a general inch or two rain here as we get into the month of June.
Parts of North Dakota continue to struggle to get the crop planted, while rains in the southern plains won't help much of the winter wheat crop. Paulson thinks weed pressure in southern plains wheat fields will be an issue.
It raining down in Kansas, I think some of the trade thinks that wheat's going to get filled a little better, but it might help some of it, but you know, there wasn't much of a stand there. A lot of that wheat's very thin and short, so the next problem they're going to have is a big weed infestation coming up here with those heavy rains and 100-degree heat. The weeds will take over that wheat fields here pretty fast.
Grain market continues to trade crop progress as well as the outside markets. Advanced Trading Commodity Research Analyst Brian Basting says traders are watching planting progress.
We look at the crop progress report from USDA on Monday, of course, and the state that is behind relative to the average is North Dakota. And it's important when you look at the volume of acres, particularly soybeans, but also for corn and, of course, spring wheat. And we're hoping that your listeners can get a window to get that crop in.
Outside market factors also need to be watched.
A lot of macro events going on here, too, when you're looking at things like the debate in Washington regarding the debt ceiling and anything that has to do with the Black Sea, all those variables have the potential to be market movers as we come back from a long holiday weekend on Monday night in the trade. So,
for the week ending May 20th, USDA's grain transportation report says barged grain movement totaled 505,700 tons. That is 73% more than the previous week, but 29% less than last year. 321 barges moved downriver, 134 more than the previous week. The rate to ship a metric ton of grain from the Gulf to Japan was $51, unchanged from last week. The rate from the Pacific Northwest to Japan was $28.25 per metric ton, down 1% from the previous week. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending May 18th shows net old and new crop corn cancellations of 23,000 metric tons, well above the previous week, but well below the four-week average. Net soybean sales of 116,000 metric tons of soybeans are 83% less than the previous week, 68% less than the four-week average. And net sales of 200,000 metric tons of wheat, 32% less than the previous week, 47% less than the four-week average.
According to USDA's Farm Labor Report, U.S. farmers hired 651,000 workers during the week ending April 15th. That's up 3% from the same week last year. The average wage paid was $18.08 per hour, up 5% year over year.
The Ag Statistics Service's farmers in Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin, the Lakes region, hired 55,000 workers during that week. The average wage in the Lakes region, $18.92 per hour. That's $1.47 more than a year ago.
Minnesota Beef Council Executive Director Kelly Schmidt says working closely with the United States Meat Export Federation helps export local product from livestock producers.
After June 2023, implants.
So as a Beef Promotion Council, we are by checkoff dollars, and utilizing those checkoff dollars, we work hard every day, every week to increase beef demand. And part of what we do in increasing that demand is looking at exporting our beef product. So we invest in that. We are members of U.S. Meat Export Federation, and our board, which is made up of farmers and ranchers, has made the decision to invest in projects with USMEF. So the reason we're here is just to know what they're up to, follow what they're doing in their business meetings, and hear about the markets and the global outlook of where things are at, so we're well informed.
Schmidt says Minnesota beef exports end up on the global market, especially in Japan.
You know, a lot of our cuts that a lot of farmers and ranchers don't think about, ones that we don't utilize and eat as much at home, they get exported. You know, Mexico is a large importer of our U.S. beef, Canada as well on some, but then we do a lot of business too in the Asian markets. So as a Minnesota Beef Council, we have funded projects specifically in Japan, because Japan has been a really strong market for U.S. beef for many years, and we want to maintain that strength because they really use a lot of different cuts and high value cuts. And we've seen expansion in other Asian markets as well that make it a wise decision to really look at and invest in projects in those areas because they want our U.S. beef.
North Dakota Agricultural Products Utilization Commission has awarded 5 projects at its May meeting. Dakota Herd is receiving a grant valued at $146,000 for an industrial hemp project. A grant for $128,500 went to Dakota Valley Growers to expand a cattle feedlot and convert manure into sustainable fertilizer. Projects funded also include Dakota Angus with $100,000 for marketing and education efforts.
The Brazilian government has declared a state of emergency following the country's first ever discovery of highly pathogenic avian influenza in wild birds. With the 180-day state of emergency, the federal government will oversee the response to the virus. Brazil exports more chicken meat than any other country in the world, with sales approaching $10 billion last year.
Alfalfa weevil adults have emerged in North Dakota. NDSU Extension is recommending farmers scout for the pest on a weekly basis. Alfalfa weevils overwinter in shelter belts and wooded areas outside of the alfalfa fields.
USDA's weekly grain transportation reports that U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 18,800 grain carloads during the week ending May 13th. That's down 9% from the previous week, 10% less than last year. Average June secondary rail car bids and offers were $231 below tariff, $69 more than the previous week, but $1,488 than last year. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Net. Afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Sierra Doctors in Minneapolis at the United States Meat Export, USMEF, United States Meat Export Federation in Minneapolis.
Sierra Doctor here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm here with Dean Meyer, USMEF Chair at the Spring Conference in Minneapolis. Dean, tell me a little bit about what's all happening here today and tomorrow the conference goes on.
Yeah, good morning, Sierra. A little bit about the conference here is it's a time where all 9 sectors can have their representatives come together and sit down and learn and to network. And I guess the most intriguing part is we get the international staff. USMEF has 19 offices around the world, and we get individuals from each one of those offices here, and they give a report on what's going on in each individual country. And we got our economists that put that information together to give prospects for the future and help us develop our trend of where we're going to spend. You know, it's checkoff dollars, it's government funds that support us, and it's so important that we have the checkoff dollars from the corn, soybean, beef, pork, and lamb and they're matched by USDA funds. And that's what really drives these international markets, staffs these people, and ultimately sells the red meat in those markets. And so at this conference here, we're putting that all together. It's a time for new members to come and learn more about it, because we're all here, international staff's here. And it's also a time for those seasoned members here to come and network with each other. I mean, there's relationships that are developed that do in turn sell international meat.
Thanks for joining me, Dean. That was Dean Meyer, USMEF Chairman. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor here on the Red River Farm Network.
Quick look at markets. Minneapolis, July wheat, 9.75 higher. September, up 9.5. Chicago wheat, down 1.75. Kansas City, 5.5 higher. July corn, 3.25 higher at 5.90¾. December, down 2. Soybeans, July contracts, at 13.22¾. Strength in the cattle markets here, hogs down, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.